This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tommy Curran, WEEI Afternoons, discussing Stephon Diggs. Leaving New England without a contract. I think we had this one right yesterday, Keith.
My guess is he doesn't return to New England with a contract.
How many more visits do you think he gets after this one? I haven't read anything yet, in fairness, but I think this visit was mutually beneficial.
Sure.
Diggs gets his name out there. He's on a visit to New England. Patriots get linked to a wide receiver. People can put their pitchforks away for a day. And I think it was a mutually beneficial visit where they had no real intent on signing the player.
I think they think it's mutually beneficial. I don't think
Right.
For the Patriots, it is that great because it runs counter to everything you were doing before. It makes us really question why you were out on other guys like DK Metcalf or trading a late round pick for Cooper Kupp or what was wrong with Deebo Samuel for a fifth. Like all these other guys you were out on, you're explaining it away. It's like, well, we need to start over. We need like a lot of good guys. You're like, I don't love it, but okay, that's your plan. Now it's like, here's Steph Diggs, who is like, kind of, you know, burn bridges the last couple teams he's been on. So you're like, all right, you're bringing him in now? And then you're not going to get him. So then it's like, all right, you need a receiver and you don't get him. Whereas Steph Diggs, great. He does a visit. Maybe he gets another visit or two, then signs with that next team and, you know, gets either the Hopkins contract or a little bit better than that. And everybody moves on with their day. But for the Patriots, they might think it looks good, but I don't think fans are like, oh, phew, they talked to Diggs.
But so that's what I mean. You're right. I don't know how it's going to play with fans. I think it makes them look like total frauds, but in their mind, I think they view it as mutually beneficial.
Yes.
But they also viewed the dynasty as a good idea.
Well, that one got away from them.
Kraft thought that press conference last week was a good idea. So, like, I don't think their decision-making is always
He did get Morgan Moses holding his jersey up, though, so that was pretty good.
He did.
Those things are going to be flying off the shelves at the pro shop.
I don't think their decision-making is always sound, but I think that's how they viewed it. It's mutually beneficial.
Sure.
To bring in Steph Diggs and say, what do you mean we weren't interested in any receivers? We had Steph Diggs visit. I think that's how they look at it.
We made Chris Godwin an offer and we talked to Steph Diggs.
Exactly.
It's like, great. You ended up with Mac Hollins. So the receiver thing has been a bit of a mess so far.
It has been.
Which circles back to what we're talking about with why I think a lot of people are connecting Travis Hunter to them. It's because they've missed on all these. They've either had no interest for some reason or the ones they have had interest in, they haven't been able to get. So that's why they're like, well, they got to get somebody, right?
Yeah, text line is taking exception with a couple of things. Number one, they said Noah, this guy has sent a lot of texts and it's a long explanation, so I'm not going to read them all. But one guy is adamant that no team will draft Travis Hunter in the top 10 unless they're playing him on both sides of the football. They won't do it to play him on one side of the ball.
So,
do you agree with that?
I don't. I think I'm really hopeful, and because he did it to like such a high level and played so many snaps, I feel like teams will at least give him an opportunity to do it. But if you just said he's a corner, I think he'd be worth the top 10 pick.
Me too.
Right? He's probably the first or maybe the second best corner at worst in the draft. That's a premium position. And in this draft in particular, I think that would get you in the top 10.
Yeah, so I think he's worth the top 10 pick. So I disagree with that, yeah. But I see you, sir. You're very adamant.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will agree to disagree.
Okay.
The other thing is, Jones, please go ahead and try to explain why you don't like Hunter as a wide receiver. Better numbers than Tet while playing full-time on defense, too. Yeah, his numbers were very good. And I think he can be... certainly a jump ball guy who you can target because of his athleticism. He's not the biggest receiver, but I think you can target him and, you know, he's athletic enough to make jump ball catches in the end zone. You can target him that way. I also think he's a great and exceptional run after catch guy.
That's what I think is what separates him.
Because his runaway speed, and you could see that on film in college. Just watching him at Colorado, you could see that. He has breakaway speed. His run after the catch is spectacular. But... is that more gadget receipt? Like, is he a polished route runner? Can he get open? Or is he just a guy you swing the pass out to and you expect him to make a bunch of guys miss and take it to the house all the time? Like, that's not the kind of receiver I want in the top five.
But that's also why, like, Andy's a corner.
No, you know what I'm saying?
For this team right now, I don't know if they have a guy on the team, barring, like, just horrible tackling, that you can throw the ball a five-yard pass, he's going to take it to the house. That's not Pop Douglas's game. That's not Kayshon Booty's game. No, Jalen Polk won't even catch it.
The best guy on the team is probably Marcus Jones with that.
Yeah, seriously, it probably is. So I feel like with Travis Hunter, you're talking about, like, how do you make Drake May look a little bit better? Like, that's one thing. Like, Bo Nix, he did, as much as I like him, he did have a lot of that last year where he'd throw it out there and then the receivers would make plays for him. And then you're like, oh, nice 60-yard pass. You're like, well, he threw it 10 yards. You're like, fine.
Right.
He did a lot at Oregon, right? Yep. Did a ton of it at Oregon. But I think Drake May needs all the help he can get. And Travis Hunter is a guy that can make you, the quarterback, look a lot better.
So I believe in Travis Hunter as a prospect, more as a corner than a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just answering I would nitpick him as a receiver. I didn't see a lot of route running at Colorado.
And the fact that Shedeur Sanders threw the ball more than anybody in college football last year because they didn't run the ball. So he got way more opportunity to catch the ball.
Yeah. I think if anybody out of the two is overrated, it's Shedeur Sanders, not Travis Hunter.
Right. Who benefited more from the other?
I think Travis Hunter helped almost... now, he plays differently, but like Mike Evans and Johnny Manziel. Like, I think it was one of those type of things.
Yeah.
Like, he got the ball a lot. He did a lot with after the ball.
You don't like Shedeur?
Not really.
Interesting.
I'm lower on Shedeur Sanders.
I also really like Johnny Football on that draft, so maybe I'm not the best.
So I like Johnny Football, too, but then I think we were all proven, like, oh, wait, the receiver can make him. Like, you know, T.O. with Jeff Garcia. Like, who made who? Like, I think it's pretty clear.
Jeff Garcia. Nice career.
Yeah, I think he was a two-time Pro Bowler because of Terrell Owens.
Did he not go anywhere else and play well?
Mm.
Was he only good in San Francisco?
But. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
You're going to look that up?
I was about to.
He played for the Dolphins for a hiccup?
I thought he played for the Eagles maybe for a minute.
That sounds right. Was he bad there?
I don't know. Did he also have T.O.?
You know what? You got me there.
But also, going back to the Ted Travis Hunter thing, what stats was Travis Hunter better in outside of just touchdown catches?
I don't know. I was taking the text line word for it. I don't even know.
I also
don't really care about – I mean, you want some numbers in college, but I don't – I'm not a slave to the college stats. I'm not.
No, he was.
You know who had horrible college numbers and is awesome in the NFL? Lab McConkey. Like terrible. Like 700 yards a year at Georgia.
Yeah,
like terrible
college
numbers.
Yeah, but he was awesome in the playoff.
Yeah, true.
He only was good with the T.O.
I was just looking at it.
So he made it like a.
He was the comeback player of the year in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and he made a lame Pro Bowl in Tampa Bay where in 13 games he had 13 touchdown passes. So I'm not counting that.
Down NFC year.
He was made by T.O. That's fine. It happens.
That does happen. Yeah. It happened with him. Good point. Real quick on Steph Diggs, and then we'll get to some phone calls. Jordan Schultz did have this yesterday.
Trying to fight anybody?
Son of Howard Schultz.
Did he confront any other media members?
Starbucks CEO.
Yep.
Gave a swirly to Ian Rapoport.
Uh-huh.
The Patriots' visit with wide receiver Stephon Diggs has ended. And while there is no deal in place as of now, both sides intend to remain in contact.
Great.
Sure.
You have my number? Yeah, we got your number. Yeah, for sure.
It's a fake number.
You'll hear back from us.
Yeah. Do not answer.
Yeah, it's been a couple days. Haven't heard.
Patriots in his phone as don't answer. As it was described to me, Jordan Schultz, this was a more of a get to know you and where you're at medically type of meeting.
Yeah, they for sure don't know Steph Diggs. Hasn't been in the league for 10 years. Didn't play in the division for a while.
I buy that less. I buy the medical thing, though.
Just sniff around the knee a little bit.
The medical thing with him is legit, though.
No, he's coming off a torn ACL.
But and he'll come back.
Yeah.
What's he going to look like at 32, and when is he going to play? I'm not saying the guy will never play again. Guys come back from ACLs all the time.
You think they got that little heat hammer out, and they're like, hey, you sit here, let me just
what
are
your reflexes
that?
Like?
He's like, ah! He's like, it's not healed yet. Slam it with that.
Another surgery.
Yeah, maybe.
So Yeah, I don't. If he's not ready week one, I don't have a high level of interest.
Just
in
getting
Stephon
good
Diggs.
Intel on Steph Diggs.
Yeah, great. Guys, I'll be in touch. Don't worry about it. 617.
We'll call you.
779-7937. Barry's in New Bedford. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey guys, I'm the only guy in this draft who is a true impact guy. First day he steps on the field is Abdul Carter, because you know you're going to get 10 sacks out of that guy because he's that good. Hunter is kind of confusing because while he plays receiver, he's raw as a route runner. He's not fast, Jones. He's quicker than fast. He has a great first step to get leverage on guys. We know about his hands and everything. As a corner, he's probably a better prospect now. The Patriots, if you're smart, if it drops down to 4, you sell the pick. I don't want Big Shorty, Will Campbell. I don't want a guy with short arms. You can't get the quarterback killed. I mean, there's a history of this. So you trade back and you acquire more picks, and then this is what the only shot they really have here, because if Carter's gone, I'm not going to take Travis Hunter, because Hunter's fine. He's a great athlete. He may be an impact player a couple of years from now. This is not a Jamar Chase or a Justin Jefferson you're getting where that guy steps on the field. That's 1,000 yards right there, and Drake May's got his number one for the next 5 years.
Okay, so Barry, even if he's a good prospect in 3 years, I think he's worth drafting.
Yeah, this team, like if they had Justin Jefferson next year, which would be great, like, what are they, winning the Super Bowl? Like, I think they're a little bit of a work in progress.
And also, I agree. I don't think it's a bad draft. This is a bad draft.
Yeah, but I also think, like, Ashton Jeanty or Ty Warren might be good right away.
Good point.
Like, yeah, it might be impactful.
Point. When he talks about impact,
I don't think it's just Abdul Carter.
No, true. I also think he has it wrong. At the fourth pick, I mean, you can trade down, and maybe somebody would move up the board to take Travis Hunter. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen. But I think if you're hoping to mortgage that pick, you want a quarterback on the clock there, don't you? Like, you brought this up before.
Yeah, you get more if a team loves Shedeur Sanders and he's available at 4 than anybody else.
Correct.
At 4.
Yeah. Like, if you want to sell the pick for the most,
yeah.
It's not a bidding war for Travis Hunter. It's a bidding war for a quarterback.
Right.
Is what you want. Why do you prefer Hunter to Abdul Carter? If they were both available at 4, or if I was hoping for one to drop to 4, I would prefer Carter. Why do you prefer Hunter?
I love the versatility of playing both. Like, it's two premium positions. We were talking about, you know, the most important positions in football, and after quarterback, there's like 4, and this guy plays 2 of them. So, and I want to see him play as many snaps on both sides of the ball as possible. I think Abdul Carter could certainly be good, and I would take him way before I would take Will Campbell. Like, that's maybe the only other guy I would take over best toss available would be Abdul Carter. But I'm hoping that Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel and the current defensive line they have are going to be able to generate enough of a pass rush where you can then go out and get somebody like Travis Hunter who can help your quarterback, which Abdul Carter is not helping your quarterback.
If the Patriots are, it sounds like they're drafting for need.
Well, they have a lot of needs, though.
Hunter is a bigger need at wide receiver than Abdul Carter is on the D-line. So that would be consistent with at least what it seems like they're getting ready to do. Ryan is in Manchester. Hello, Ryan.
What's up, guys? I feel a little bit on the sellers here. I feel a little bit bad for Wick. Yeah, I started thinking about it a little bit today. I feel like he might be the real-life Billy Madison, and the party's over. But people are missing the mark on this. And you go back to Vrabel, who he is as a coach, the DNA of how he makes up his teams, what he said at his introductory press conference. This is not a team that's going to throw the ball. I think he said 40 times a game. That's not how they're going to win football games. They're going to play defense, or they're going to run the ball. And I'm absolutely convinced at this point, I didn't like it at first, they're drafting that Ashton Jeanty. He wants a Derrick Henry-esque ball control playing defense. And if you start to think about it, it makes a ton of sense. They say he's the best prospect in the last 5-7 years of running back. It helps Drake May out. These guys are not winning right away. You can't think of this as, you know, this is a long-term thing. And if you look how the Colts back in the day kind of grew their team with Manning, and they got Edger and James. And this is a process. It's going to be a rebuild, and Jeanty might actually be a great pick. What do you guys think?
Okay. If Hunter and Carter are gone and the Patriots are on the clock at 4, I would have zero problem taking Jeanty. Now, ideally, you move down and you get a few more assets, and maybe it's Shedeur Sanders, maybe it's Hunter, or somebody people are moving up. Or I guess if Hunter was on the clock, I would want that. So maybe it's Shedeur Sanders, you trade down, you get Jeanty at 6, and you get an extra draft pick. I would rather that. But if you're stuck at 4 and Hunter and Carter are gone, I'd love Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, I would too. I would think that's a spot where maybe you can get more if you move down and still get the guy. Like, really, anybody besides Carter or Hunter, I think you could get lower. But you also don't want to get too cute, right? And we've killed Bill for that before.
Yeah.
So, like, if you just take Jeanty there, I guess I'd sign up for it. Now, the one thing, too, is when Mike Vrabel's teams are at their best, now they have Derrick Henry, but they had A.J. Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they did have a true number one receiver. I get what he's saying about he made it pretty clear, like, we're not just going to chuck it all around. And clearly by going out and getting somebody like Milton Williams, like, they want to win up front on both sides. But it does help the whole offense when you have a true number one. I think he does value that still. I think he values it more than, like, Belichick did.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But remember how they got A.J. Brown? He was a second-round pick.
Yep.
So if you're talking, and look, he inherited Derrick Henry, so it's not like he took Derrick Henry at four.
No, he did not. In fact, he thought Deion Lewis was better early on in that season.
Right.
So
Henry was a second round pick. What was he?
Derrick Henry was also a second round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. So he also might believe that we can find our next AJ Brown in round two. That's where we found the first one. We can find him in round two. But I agree with you. He definitely values wide receiver more than Belichick. And he might value it more than we realize. I wonder if he has a point, though, about emphasizing the running game. And they don't have the personnel to do that right now.
Do you think the Eagles are sort of an anomaly? Because if you look at the teams that struggled to pass last year, and I know sometimes overall stats can be a little misleading because bad teams have to throw a lot at the end of games. But the Patriots were the worst passing team in the league last year. The Bears, the Panthers, they were all in the bottom. But so were the Eagles. The Eagles didn't throw for a lot. But they had Saquon freaking Barkley, who had a 2,000-yard rushing season, and they had a good running quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, unless you're going to that, like, are you willing to, like, open it up and have Drake May run for that much? And do you really trust one of your running backs to have that kind of production? I know it's a copycat league. I think they're, in that regard, a little bit of a outlier. I think you might be better off kind of throwing it around. Like, Detroit, I know ultimately didn't get there, but Detroit, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Rams, those are teams that were sort of towards the top of the league in passing. And I think that, I know they weren't the team that ultimately won it, right? So, like, you could easily throw that in my face. I'm like, well, the Eagles ran it and they won. But I don't know. Like, it's pretty unique personnel to have Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
No. And
their whole offensive line, for God's sakes.
Drake May is not Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I would turn him loose, though, running.
Scoot him a little bit more.
Like, I'm not afraid of that. I know some fans are afraid of that. You know, I've heard, is it Andy or Ted? Somebody on Afternoons has said, maybe it's more Hart, that you got to protect him. You can't run him so much. He needs to be able to throw.
Well, Alex Van Pelt last year with us, didn't he say he's like the most important thing is protecting Drake May?
Exactly.
And you're like, okay.
So
what about winning?
Part of why I like Drake May as a prospect is because of the athleticism and the ability to run.
Yeah.
And I would turn him loose. I mean, he's not Jalen Hurts, but I would turn him loose. I would. I wonder if Vrabel will. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Vrabel, I mean, they had Tannehill, so there wasn't really much of an opportunity to do that. Did he have Mariota before that?
He did.
How much did Mariota run with?
I think a decent amount, but that's also more Mariota's game, isn't it? Like, I think you have Mariota, so you will run. Or, I mean, like, if you're using him, he was drafted as a real dual threat kind of guy.
What was Vrabel's first year? 18? 2018?
It was, that sounds right.
He was there, and hang on, 2018 was the first year.
2018 took over. Mariota was the starter that year. They went 9-7. Coming off a 9-7 team. And what did Mariota run for? You see it?
I'm pulling that up right now.
Stats and info department would tell you he ran for 357 yards.
Yeah, that's low. I mean, different.
But he ran 64 times.
Yeah, that's low. 14 games. Deion Lewis had 155 carries. Derrick Henry, 215. So.
Well, that's true. How much would you run Mariota if you have Derrick Henry?
I was going to say, you got Derrick Henry, and you finally figured out you had Derrick Henry. So that was, he had a 1,000-yard year that year.
Huh. Okay, that's not encouraging about turning Drake May loose, I would say, because to me, Mariota and Drake May, that's pretty similar athleticism.
Yeah.
Drake May is not Jalen Hurts. He might be closer to Mariota. That's a little disconcerting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 617-779-7937. Will is in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Will.
How's it going? I just want to talk about the Diggs interview.
Yeah.
What a great move that would be. That guy's an absolute dog. We need someone like that in the locker room. He's got a good rep with the ladies. We need something like that in New England.
Okay. That's true, he does.
He's got a good rep with the ladies.
Cardi B?
Bad rep with his teammates. Sisters.
Well, yeah, that's true. They did not.
What was it again?
And his health.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a bum knee. He's got a bum knee right now, but that's all right. No, you and I, you're preaching to the choir on this. You and I want Steph Diggs. We just don't think they're going to actually sign him.
Well, you
don't want him, but like if it's him or nothing, you would take him. Okay,
exactly.
So maybe I want him. You would take him.
And my fear has nothing to do with he's a diva and he's going to demand targets. That has nothing to do with it. It's about his health. Like that's 100% it for me. And to I guess to a lesser degree, his age, like, but that combination.
Do you think he has more left in the tank than Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne and guys like that when they got him?
Yes.
Okay.
But when
it's
is
closer to that?
Is he going to play week six? Like, when's he coming back? Is my point.
Well, so, that's why they were poking around the knee yesterday.
I agree. But if you're asking me what my real fear is with Diggs, it's that. But yeah. If you told me Diggs was going to be back week one and he was going to be in Drake May's face demanding targets, I'd be like, yeah, sure, go get him. I'm on board with that.
Get them targets.
Yeah. I don't care about a receiver demanding targets. That does not bother me.
Well, I do if it's somebody like Jalen Polk.
Well, good point. A good receiver demanding targets.
Yeah, there we go.
But, yeah, I mean, at some point there's diminishing returns on that. If it's in the middle of a playoff game and the guy's airing out your quarterback and there's a bad relationship there, well then, okay, come talk to me. But on a crummy team like this, I am not afraid of a diva wide receiver. 617-779-7937. He's got that dog in him, Keith.
He sure does.
And a good reputation with the ladies.
Yes, he does. That would be amazing, though, if he had Cardi B and Megan.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say
in the same.
A good reputation with the ladies would be amazing. I was like, yeah, that would be nice.
No, ship has sailed, Jones. I'm not really worried about that for myself anymore, but I'm just saying for the city, that would really kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
You had Cardi B at all the games?
Yeah, all of a sudden, Boston. What a place.
Awesome.
Cardi B, yep. Megan Thee Stallion.
Do you think
it can be the ring bell, bear, like ringer?
Yes,
it
the
is.
Lighthouse.
Yeah, the Lighthouse.
Cardi bear. B.
Oh, great call.
And the Lighthouse.
Tremendous call.
And then CBS cuts to Robert and Jonathan and Cardi B in the owner's box. Great.
617-779-7937. We have two matchups for you available right now in the Jones and Keith bracket. We're on to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
How about that? We have not a ton of upsets in the football region. So we have a 1-4 matchup in the Sweet 16 in the football region. The Chargers, their Powder Blues against the Oilers. They're, what were you calling it earlier? Sky Blue?
Sky Blue.
Not to call everything powder blue.
Is that a robin's egg blue?
Yeah. So that matchup is available at Jones and Keith.
Don't forget, they got the oil Derek on the helmet.
Oh, it's a
big old oil Derek.
We never tell anybody how to vote.
Influencing the vote.
But
I'm just pointing out what it is.
Don't forget about the oil Derek is all we're saying.
It's not just the jersey and the pants. It's also the helmet or the hats.
Yeah, those two.
Baseball.
Yeah, very important.
Yep.
Speaking of baseball, the baseball region, it is the Expos versus the Red Sox in the baseball region.
This will be telling. This will be really telling.
Yeah, the voting, it's telling all right so far.
What are we guys doing? Not what team do you like more? What uniform do you like more? Outrageous.
Again, not that we would ever tell you how to vote.
No, but come on.
Just don't vote for the Boston teams.
Or stop voting for them. I think they've gotten as far as they should. Maybe with the exception of Pat Patriot.
Yeah, Patriot can keep cooking. Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, this is your time. But again, we would never tell you how to vote. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter, you can see the full bracket on
Instagram.
Andre
the Hawk Dawson and Tim Rock Reigns in that photo. Nice one, Bill.
Nice, real nice. So you can vote there. We'll update the full bracket coming your way.
A couple of Hall of Famers in
at 11:45. And coming up next to Friday, which means we have a 4-pack of questions right after.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Trending with Billy Laney. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Friday. Time for a four-pack of questions with Billy Laney. We do it every Friday at 11:30 here on WEEI. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket coming your way about 15 minutes from now. Who's into the Sweet 16? How are we faring with the matchups today? Yes, all the Boston teams are winning again, and we'll probably meet up in the Final Four. And this was a fruitless exercise, but we'll update that at 11:40.
We'll have to do the alternate Final Four. We'll do two separate Final Fours. Yeah, we'll do the Boston Final Four, and then we'll do like the real Final Four.
Loser's bracket?
Yeah.
Loser's bracket.
Yeah. The best Boston
the
jersey.
Yeah, nice.
That's fine.
Let's knock them down there. Okay, what do we have for a question today, Billy?
All right, what will be the most used infield by the Red Sox this season?
Okay, Bregman at third.
Agreed. Yes. So I know what they want it to be. Here's what I'm going to say it's going to be.
It's not going to be Trevor Story at short.
No.
It will be Campbell at second.
I think so.
It will be Cassis at first. What's my answer at shortstop?
Maybe it's the year Story.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no.
It's going to be a sad story, Nick. It's going to be Marcelo Meyer. I always screw that up. Marcelo Meyer. I called Cassis the wrong name for like 4 years.
Whatever.
So it'll be Cassis, Campbell, Meyer, Bregman, say Connor Wong. They're going to start the year with Trevor Story at short.
You kind of catcher as an infielder?
Is it not an infielder?
No, he's a catcher.
An infielder?
No, an IF. He's not. That's not. Nowhere is. A catcher's not part of your infield.
He's not part of the outfield.
Right. He's his own thing. I agree.
He's an infielder.
He's part of the battery.
He's not
the pitcher and the catcher.
Pitcher's an infielder.
No, he isn't.
When they go around the horn, the catcher catches the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not an infielder.
And they're like, let's take a look at the infield.
Involved in around the horn.
Say it again.
Well, he throws it down.
He starts it.
Yeah, he starts it. After a strikeout.
Yeah, sorry. I thought I meant like a ground out.
Well, no, he's too busy talking to the ump and all that stuff. You're telling me a catcher's not an infielder?
I don't think so.
Nick?
I don't agree with that.
I feel like a catcher is an infielder.
You're going to tell me like Ivan Rodriguez shouldn't be considered an infielder when he's just.
No, he's a catcher.
He plays in the dirt, though.
So if there's like a bunt. If there's a bunt, who gets it? Who fields it?
Sometimes the pitcher.
Center fielder.
Not the center fielder, Bill.
Sometimes
unless it's cool Papa Bell. He was so fast, he had a line drive up the middle, hit himself in the head, slide into second base. No, I think he's an infielder.
Okay. Fine.
Connor Wong.
So Connor Wong. I wasn't including him in my personal
list. Somebody's going to have to break the tie on that because we're split 2-2 on the show.
Billy, wait. No. Is Nick with me?
No, Nick's with me. Billy's with you.
No, he's an infielder.
Billy's with you.
With you, exactly.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
my bad, Bill.
Yeah, I've been
oh, you got smoked on that.
All right, so this is the AI overview from the Google machine.
Thank you.
Good.
No, a catcher is not considered an infielder.
Wow, I was about to.
Though they are part of the, quote, battery, a play within the infield area.
Did I not just say that?
It consists of positions of first, second, third, short.
Yeah, but you're asking a robot.
Yeah, so
Google
I know.
AI also said Vrabel had 11 touchdowns, not 12.
They're going to be our leaders soon. So
Google
yes,
AI also said the random player in college
off.
Hoops the other day was, who did you say on the first one? It wasn't Jonathan Oates. Who are we guessing from Virginia?
Oh, for Curtis Staples.
Yeah. So the AI answer, it's not exact. Look, I'll take it. It's on my side. And it was almost to the word exactly what I said. Catcher's not an infielder. Anyway, what's your infield? With or without the catcher?
All right, let's put Connor Wong to the side here. Let's put him in the battery.
I realize it's such a hot button.
Costas Campbell, Mayer, Bregman. I think Trevor Story starts the year. He will inevitably get hurt. And Mayer's been hitting the cover off the ball. And they almost want to put him at short, it feels like. So I think they're going to jump at the chance to put him to short. This might not even happen for a month or two.
Right.
But maybe he plays 100 games there.
Right.
And that'll be the infield that is most
used. Not the opening day
infield. No.
The most used infield. So we actually, despite all the disagreement there, we actually completely agree on 100%. The infield.
Yep.
I just wouldn't have Connor Wong in it.
Yep.
All right, what's our next
one? What is your favorite NCAA tournament memory?
The one that jumps out to me, and I guess I don't really even know why, is Tyus Edney going coast to coast.
Oh, that was sick against Missouri.
Yeah.
He went like behind his back, and then that was nasty. What about Bryce Drew, the Valpo?
That's a great one.
Catch and shoot. That was a 13 over a 4. They beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss.
I took such a bath on this. We've talked about this the other day, but Mario Chalmers hitting the game win. Like, that was a pretty sweet one. Ooh, what was the one?
That was.
When Nova won, what was that buzzer beater?
Oh, no, that was. You're talking about in the final?
Yeah, was it the final?
He hit a three, came down and hit it back and another three.
That was a good moment, although if I can't even name the guy, then it's, I guess it's not that great. Tyus Edney is my answer. I don't know why that's my answer, but that's the one that like immediately jumped into my mind.
Tyus Edney was a really good one. Didn't Jake Voskal hit one for UConn in a game?
That'd be cross him off the random basketball player list. That'd be a good random basketball player.
Richard Jefferson hit one, and so my sister was at UConn. That was her freshman year at UConn, was the year that Rip Hamilton and those guys won the title. So we were following them pretty closely. Khalid Al-Amin, Jake Voskal, Kevin Freeman, Ricky Moore.
Ooh, Kevin Freeman, nice player.
So that was a fun team. That was up there for me.
That was back when I liked UConn, man.
Yeah.
That was back when I can't stand Hurley now. He's such a horse's ass. Yeah. I can't stand Hurley.
Anytime Duke loses, also a favorite of mine.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I liked UConn because of who they were going against.
Was it CJ McCollum that had a great series against them? Also, that's when I remember being like, oh, Steph Curry's nasty when that Davidson run. Yeah, that's not like a single moment.
I think
you're right.
McCollum beat Duke at Lehigh. I think that's right. Eric Maynor at VCU took down Duke.
Those are all great moments.
These are a lot of great moments. Yeah, believe it or not, they really sum them up every year in the one shining moment.
They really do. They put them all together for you.
But my one shining moment would be Tyus Edney.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next, Billy?
If you could own any pro sports team, what would it be?
You're the actual team, not the sport, correct?
Own any team.
Okay.
So you'd have to
own a sport?
Yeah, you can own a sport.
I don't know. I guess I don't know why I asked it that way.
If you could own any pro sports team... So not like a minor league.
I think
team.
I missed the word pro in there. I just read if you could own a sport.
I would own racquetball.
I don't know why I asked that. What team would I own?
See, honestly, I don't even know if it's a thing I would want. If I was a millionaire,
would.
I'd want to own a team. I don't think
Hell yeah.
So.
You wouldn't want to be like Mark Cuban?
He sold the team.
No,
Mark Cuban doesn't even want to be Mark Cuban.
But during Mark Cuban's run, you wouldn't want to do that? Or like Steve Ballmer?
Sit on the bench. Yeah, basketball would be kind of fun, but now like with these contracts, like we were talking about this yesterday, like it's a interesting time to be buying teams. Guys making $60 million,
like buy the Lakers and tank them.
You could submarine them. Football's probably the most like the easiest. It's not a lot of games. It makes so much money.
It's the most lucrative.
It's the most lucrative.
Yeah,
and you just sit there and own a team on a basketball team, or I'm sorry, a football team. So maybe the Patriots.
Yeah, I guess my answer is the Celtics. I feel like that's a lame answer.
Huh.
I would want to be an NBA owner.
Not the Vancouver Canucks? You don't want to own them?
No. And if I could pick a sport, it would be basketball.
Yeah.
To just own.
Just own the league?
Yeah. No, I guess my answer is the Celtics.
What about the Revs?
And then I move them to Vermont.
What if you own the Pats and the Revs?
Yeah,
you could move a team wherever you wanted. You could put a team in
right by the popcorn stand in Goffstown if you wanted to. Yeah.
Put it in Goffstown. Yeah.
If Keith owned the Patriots, they'd have every washed up player from the last 5 years.
Oh my God, that's so true.
And they would only wear the Pat Patriot uniforms every single game. They'd be like, these ones again? Like, that's our logo now.
Yeah, pay the fine when they tell you can't wear them anymore. Yeah.
Like, we're wearing them. Wow. That helmet, we're getting rid of.
Think of the roster Keith would put together.
All the flying Elvises would be gone. We'd have Steph Diggs, Cooper Kupp. We'd have all these guys lined up.
It would be that meme of like this team would be awesome in 2007.
Yeah, that'd be the squad. They might squeak out a playoff win here and there.
Nice. Okay, what's our last one, Billy?
All right, last one. Who will have more receiving yards next season, Steph Diggs or anyone on the Pats?
The answer is, believe it or not, Diggs. And the reason that I keep saying I would take Steph Diggs and then talk so negatively about him is because if it's Diggs or nothing, Diggs or what they have on the roster, I will hold my nose and take Steph Diggs. I think there are better options out there, although they're very much dwindling, and I would point to Amari Cooper as a better option. But who will have more yards, even if he plays 14 games, 12 games? Diggs than anybody on this roster.
Hunter Henry led the Patriots in receiving yards last year with 674.
Yeah, Diggs will get more than that.
Yeah.
He played half a year last year. What do you have? 500, something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. So if Diggs has an off year and has, let's call it 800 yards receiving, do the Patriots right now have an 800-yard receiver on the team?
No.
I don't think so.
Did Bourne do it with McDaniels? Did Bourne hit 800?
McDaniels.
So Bourne hit 800?
I think so, but like not by much.
With Mac.
Oh, my God. 800 on the nose.
Really?
800, yeah. Okay. So,
well, that is the thing. They have a real offensive coordinator.
Move Diggs to 801. 801. Will they get anybody at 800? No, not on this roster.
I don't think so. Yeah, so I'll take Steph Diggs on that as well. Now, he'll probably have to play, if he plays 13 or 14 games, then I think he'll for sure have more than anybody else.
Right. If he somehow doesn't, if he plays 8 games,
then it
is different. But he should be back. I'm scared of when he returns, and he might be even a little slow when he first gets back on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd expect him to play in like 12 games. I wouldn't expect him to play 17.
No.
But I'd expect him to play like 12. So, we agree on that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is our Friday four-pack of questions each and every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Sometimes you get an unexpected debate in there, like, is a catcher an infielder? You can jump in, 617-779-7937, not according to Google AI.
Doesn't run out to the outfield.
There was a good, healthy debate going on the Twitch
text line
as well about that. Says, I would have thought that a catcher is an infielder until I thought about middle infielders or corner infielders. Catcher doesn't fit into either. It's a good point.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Dice says the catcher and pitcher are considered the battery. They are not part of the infield. Somebody else said Google says catchers are not infielders.
Damn.
I guess that wasn't a debate. That was
all
on
my side. There's only four infielders?
Well, we voted 3-1.
So. Yeah, well.
It's true. On this show it is.
Yeah.
Catcher's part of the infield on this
democracy.
Show.
Democracy. I've been
well, we talked to Brad Foe next week so we could get the answer for real on opening day.
We should. All right, we ever hear from Brad Foe about who the second baseman is or what his take is?
He did say, last time we talked to him, let me check the lineup, which came out like 2 hours after he was on with us, and it was David Hamilton, who he also kind of gave us as the answer before, which we don't love.
Lame.
I want him to be Marcelo Mayer at this point, even more than Campbell.
I think I want Campbell, but I think I want
Mayer, and then be like, hey, when Story gets hurt, you're just going to pop over anyway.
I would prefer Mayer to Hamilton.
I'll never get that one right. It should be so easy.
617-779-7937. More of your phone calls. Let's update the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Two matchups you can vote in right now. We'll update you coming up next.
We're through to the Sweet 16 in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket.
Also known as round two for the morning and afternoon shows bracket.
Sweet 16 is the second round for those guys. That's true.
No,
Sweet 16 would be.
I think they're both 32.
Yeah, they both did
32, which is fine. That's what they chose to do. We went with 64.
I mean, that's what the bracket. Actually,
we should go 68 next year. It's just a pain in the ass for the graphic to do like the play-in.
Get some play-in.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do that.
We should go to 68 to really, you know, art imitating life.
Flex.
Yeah, is what
flex
it would be.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, especially since everybody else can only manage 32. In their little bracket.
This is outrageous to me. So one of the regions right now that is live to vote on Twitter, at Jones and Keefe, is in the basketball region, the number one seed, the Denver Nuggets, Rainbow Skyline.
People don't like those. They almost lost in round one, Keefe. People don't like those uniforms as much as you, me, Billy, Nick. As much as we like them, people don't like them as much.
We almost had a 16 over a 1, but they advanced, and then they won the second round a little bit more easily. And they're playing the Celtics green, which I love. The other day, I was wearing a Paul Pierce one. It's just green with white letters.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I like it because it's the team I like. But in the grand scheme of uniforms, you could call it classic because it's been around in just slight modifications for like 80 years. But that Rainbow Skyline thing is off the charts. We got it up now on Twitch and on YouTube. Like,
who is that for the Nuggets?
Is that? It's not Alex English, is it?
Who is that?
Who is that, Bill? Bill's gone.
24? Is it Alex English?
It is Alex English. Okay, that's my guess. And then it's Antoine Walker, the Walker Wiggle, sporting the all greens. Like, that's not even close to me. What is the better uniform? This isn't who do you like more or what team are you rooting for?
Your fandom isn't going to be questioned if you don't vote for the team.
Who's your favorite team bracket? Is that what we're doing next year? I think we have a good idea of the boss. That's how people are treating this.
First round, Pats, Red Sox. Go ahead. We should just pit them all together against each other right off the rip.
Pats, Red Sox, Pats.
Pats. Right now, Pats.
Yeah,
It's still Pats. Yeah, I mean, still Pats. But anyway, get in there. So we got that one going on. That is a Sweet 16 matchup, and hopefully it gets a little bit closer. Right now, Celtics is in a
text line. And again, you can see all these jerseys. First of all, on social media, at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. You can vote on Twitter. See the full bracket on Instagram. You can also watch right now on Twitch, as Keefe said, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Those Nuggets jerseys are trash. That was a text. Christy in the Twitch chat, they're ugly.
Disagree. It is a beautiful uniform.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You guys don't understand fashion the way I do.
Anyway, the Celtics are trouncing the Nuggets right now.
Red Sox are also in a matchup in the
Baseball region.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox, that's a 1-5 matchup in the baseball region. Again, in the Sweet 16, Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket.
They're both going to win.
Red Sox are up on the top-seeded Expos. And then the number one seeded Chargers, they're powder blues. They're running away with the Oilers and the Oil. Don't forget about the helmet with the Oil.
The helmet is very important in this.
Not to influence anyone or tell you how to vote.
Nope.
But just don't forget about it is all
I'm saying. Take consideration the Expos hat when voting.
Yeah, exactly right, Bill.
Yeah, good point, Billy.
Where it says Montreal Expo Baseball within the hat.
I learned that.
The letters.
Similar to Keefe learning that a catcher is not an infielder. I learned that a few weeks ago.
It's still up for debate.
So we had a few teams advance to the Sweet 16 yesterday. Pat Patriot is through as a 2 seed. They beat Florida State in their maroon. That was a route. That should be a route, by the way.
Yeah, that's, Florida State's got good uniforms, though.
They do, but I mean, but what's better?
Pat Patriot.
Yeah, so, and oh, yeah. Pat Patriot is a legitimately great uniform. These other Boston uniforms are pretty schmeh. Yeah, they're all traditional and classic, and I get it.
Yeah.
But they're all pretty schmeh.
Okay.
Sonics, I guess that one's technically still open to vote. The Sonics are going to beat the Jazz, the Purple Mountains.
Sonics is slick.
So they're going to be through. The baseball matchup is final. That was yesterday. The Braves wound up beating the Devil Rays from the 90s, which is a shame, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
So that's an upset, though. That's a 7 seed advancing. And then what was the other match? I think it's technically still open. What was our hockey
Mighty
match?
Mighty Ducks beat the Sabres.
Pretty handily.
Oh, got it. No, that one's done.
Ducks. That one's all in the books.
Which I didn't vote that way either, but the number two seed Sabres. Ducks advance. Yeah, same.
There's two swords on the Sabres jersey.
Yeah,
there's
it's a Jason mask, Keith, so you really had to really choose.
I did. It's a Jason mask that looks like a duck, though. It's got the duck. It looks like Darkwing Duck a little bit. Both very good. I have no problem with either one advancing.
Yeah.
They're going to be both, or the Ducks are going to be a tough out.
When in doubt, go with the cross swords as well. I stand by that all the time.
Well, we saw those in person the other night, and we were like, that's a good looking uniform.
We saw the
Sabres
uniforms in person.
No, we weren't crossing swords. We were watching the Sabres.
I was making sure people understand what you're saying.
Sure. See them in person, you're like, man.
That's a good, that's sharp.
That is sharp.
I almost bought a Pat LaFontaine sweater that night.
It's its own category on some websites. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. You mentioned the WEI afternoons bracket, Keefe.
Yeah, and so, listen.
What? What am I listening to?
I'm glad they're doing it. I love a bracket. You can throw anything into a bracket.
Sure.
They originally said, or what I had heard, maybe I misheard, was they were doing sports nicknames, which was one of our choices on our poll to begin the month.
It was.
Didn't finish super high, but that's what they ended up going with. And I was like, all right, sports nicknames. There's a lot in there, but that could be kind of fun. Figure out what the best sports nickname is. They kind of did like a pivot. It's Boston sports nicknames.
Yeah, which honestly, I don't mind that idea, but okay. I would like the mailman to be in there.
Yeah, I would
the glove.
Like, right, the Rain Man.
Yeah, maybe we just want an
the
NBA.
Dream.
Maybe we
the
just
Admiral.
Want an NBA, a 90s NBA nickname.
I think so.
Bracket is, I think, what we just want. But I was looking forward to that. And instead I have the goat and the hoodie.
I don't think either one of those are really nicknames.
I mean, those are obviously the football region.
They're in the bracket, yeah. Bracket, so they also did sports regions?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What?
But you know what they do, though, which I give them credit for, is they are pitting Boston athletes against each other, which will break the brains of the voters. Because now, in our bracket, they're just smarter than us on that level, for sure. That is savvy.
Because we...
Like, I love both of these players.
Wait a minute.
You got to pick one.
Yeah, pick them.
Got to pick one.
Go ahead, pick it.
Yeah.
Big Poppy or the Rem Dog, pick it.
Right, because you only can love one. You must hate the other.
I would vote Big Poppy.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to the late Rem Dog, but I would vote Big Poppy.
Do you have a favorite Boston sports nickname?
Ooh.
Looking at their bracket here.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I would have even remembered this one just because it's been so long since he's coached here. Big Tuna's a good nickname.
Big Tuna's good. Yeah. The Truth is my favorite. Because it was given to him by Shaq, and he's my favorite player. So Paul Pierce, the truth
is in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I would hope. The Big Poppy, I'll be honest, always found it very strange that as an adult man, I'm calling him
so
Big Poppy.
So you're voting Rem Dog?
Round one, I'm voting Rem Dog.
Wow.
Big Poppy? We're both grown adult men, right?
Yeah.
Like, there he is. Hey, what's up, Big Poppy? Like, I'm not calling you Big Poppy. I'm not doing it. It's like that bit on Cedric the Entertainer.
I guess I wouldn't call
you call
him
me
that
delicious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not calling you delicious. It's the same thing. I'm not doing that. I think Oil Can's good, even though I think there's a story behind that.
Oil Can is a good nickname, for sure.
I think it could be a great nickname.
I'd
go The Truth. I'd go Oil Can in the football one. I would go...
I might go Cornbread in the Celtics region.
Cornbread's good.
The Celtics region. I might go Cornbread.
I'd go, I don't consider Gronk a nickname. That's just short for your name. That's like, is Rich a nickname, or is it just short for Richard?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I guess... Yeah.
Is it different with a last name than a first name?
It's just short for Gronkowski.
Well, Billy and I were thinking about this one yesterday. Trot Nixon. Trotman is his middle name, but he goes by Trot.
Yeah, throw Trot in there.
So is that
if you're putting Gronk in, I'd put Trot in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
Dirt Dog?
Cowboy Up?
What about Jeff Small Fry? How come he didn't make it in there?
Yeah, no, that's adding on to a name, which you'll allow for.
Yeah.
What about Triple A Shea Hillenbrand? Triple A Shea.
Was that his nickname?
I don't know if it was like a, it might have been a mocking one.
Yeah. Got it.
Huh. You know?
That was insensitive. I wouldn't call him that.
Shea Hillenbrand was a
like
nice ball
way
player.
Way back Wasden. Like it was a nickname, yeah. But it wasn't.
Way back Wasden should have been in there. That's a good
way
one.
Way back Wasden. Or like Francona just called every guy on his team something like Petey. Like is Petey a nickname? Or is it just short for Pedroia?
Tito.
Tito. Good
Where's
one.
Tito?
Where's Doc? Doc Rivers.
Great one.
One of the great nicknames. When nobody knows your real name because they only call you the nickname.
I gotta get my larynx fixed.
That's a good nickname.
That is.
Like Magic and Tiger and Doc.
Brian is
Spud.
Brian is staring at us right now. I don't know if he seems
Spud's good one.
I don't know
Muggsy
if he seems thrilled with this conversation.
We should just do 90s basketball. You're right. The human
year?
Highlight film.
Next, we already have our bracket for next year. Two years from now.
Yeah.
90,
Air Jordan.
90s basketball nicknames.
Yeah.
A little presumptuous, Jones.
Well, I was going to say. I mean, assuming that's very.
Yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Point. Yeah.
Round Mound or rebound.
Nice one.
Mount Matumbo.
You say the Admiral.
Yes, yeah, an Admiral.
It's a good one.
The Dream. Yeah.
Sure.
They're all in there. Ooh, the microwave.
Vinny the not a nine not a 90s nickname,
late,
we'll allow it. We'll allow
90.
It.
90.
He probably played. Yeah, he played in the 90s.
Counts.
Yeah,
tractor, true. Tractor trailer,
tractor trailer. Ooh. Big Country Reeves.
Big Country Reeves. Nice one.
We got. They kind of stopped with the nicknames. There were so many good ones back then. Mighty Mouse. Damon Stoudamire.
White Chocolate.
White Chocolate. Jason Williams. Good one. Hot Rod.
That was 90s.
Hot Rod. Rod Williams.
Hot Rod Hundley. That was like the 60s.
What is another,
Hot Rod Williams.
Hot Rod should be on there.
Yeah. I would say Grandmama.
You say Dick Night Train Lane? Great one. Oh, Grandmama, yeah.
I don't quite know where it came from, but yeah, that's a good nickname.
But then these guys would put like Zoe for Alonzo Mourning. Like, that's just his name, but shorter. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it, but feel free to vote on all these bad boys.
All right, maybe we'll get our 90s NBA nickname bracket going in a couple of years. Again, very presumptuous. We still got to get the Bregman nickname bracket going. Don't even get us started on the Bregman nickname.
I don't want to say what our idea is because I don't want anybody to steal it, but for next year, we have a legit idea that we're not even going to put to a vote, and hopefully, knock on wood, we're here, and it's going to crush.
It's honestly pretty much already done.
The bracket's done. We just need to wait till next March.
Yeah, we just got to make
it. We thought of it like the day after we put this one out.
The show just has to survive till next March, but our bracket's pretty much already done for next year. 617-779-7937.
The great Bambino.
In what?
He played for the Red Sox.
I thought we were talking. I thought we were,
in the
people
90s,
are just sending any.
Basketball.
Oh, Clyde the Glide Drexler?
Yeah,
the Glide.
That's a great
one.
Glide,
the Glide is real good.
Yeah, but who you're texting the Bambino. We're talking about NBA nicknames. Where'd that come from?
Well, I think maybe that was on delay talking about this, the WEEI Afternoons bracket. They could have put that in the
Red
Sox.
Oh, the great Bambino as a Red Sox. I see. Got it.
I mean, he was famously.
I didn't connect those dots. I'm sorry.
Well, like Mookie.
That would be.
His name's not Mookie.
What is his name?
Marcus.
Yeah. There you go. Mookie
should be in there.